the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Loads of sports fans are going to be glued to the Masters, which begins tomorrow in golf from the Augusta National, from where we're joined by Lawrence Donegan, founder and editor of McKellar Magazine. And Lawrence, it has become an annual ritual for the two of us, going back to, I don't know how many years now at this stage, but for me to ask you, can Rory McIlroy win his first ever Masters? Can he?
Well, of course he can. Yeah, you could say that every year. Matt, you and I first talked about Rory in 2007. I well remember it. He was a low amateur at Carnoustie. Yes, of course he can win it, you know, but will he? That's always the big question. What I would say is, I'm not going to say this year that he is going to win it, but if he doesn't win it this year, then he probably never will win it. I say that because this is his best chance ever. He's coming into this tournament in the best form that he's ever come into this tournament. His press conference yesterday was very mellow, very quiet. The way he spoke, you can almost tell the way these guys feel. Just listening to him, you can read between the lines and in their tone, he seemed perfectly at ease with himself. There is a stunning piece in the New York Times this morning about scar tissue. It's free, so if anyone's listening, they should go and look it up. And McIlroy speaks about his trauma in 2011 like I've never heard him speak before. It's
remind us of what happened that day in 2011 when he went to the turn with the chance of winning firmly there for him.
Right, 2011, he started the final round with a four-shot lead, cruising. Magnificent first 3 days. Bogeyed the first. It all kind of fell apart from there. Stood on the 10th tee, still had a one-shot lead and hooked it about 90 yards into the cabins. There's some incredible photography from the time. There's a set of cabins along the left side of the 10th hole at Augusta that nobody had ever even seen before or noticed before. And McIlroy hit his tee shot in there, eventually made a triple. And with that, it was over for him. Again, he speaks about scar tissue today. I think all of us who were there that day, who are fans of McIlroy, who were watching, have got scar tissue. I mean, he actually says that he can sort of laugh about it now, which is, you know, is quite amazing. The point being, to this overall picture of where he is psychologically, and I guess that in part plays into where he is in a physical sense. His golf this year, I mean, he's already won twice on the PGA Tour, and these were not minor events. This was not the Travelers or Open or whatever you want. This week he won a signature event at Pebble Beach, not a golf course that particularly suits him, and then he won the Players' Championship, again, not a golf course that particularly suits him, and he didn't actually have his best golf that week, but still eked out a win. And that, to me, that speaks to his maturity. I think he's actually, I think what makes it different this year, Matt, is he seems to be playing a different kind of golf. We all love McIlroy because he's so flamboyant and so, you know, free-spirited. But I think he played at the Masters with Scheffler in the first two rounds last year, and that was Scheffler went on to win it and absolutely annihilated McIlroy over the first 36 holes. I mean, just world of difference. I think McIlroy looked at that as a real wake-up call. And you can see it in the way that he plays this year. You know, he picks apart golf courses in a far different way than I've seen in the past. He's actually playing like Scheffler. And, you know, again, you look at Scheffler, you had an amazing, he won seven times in the PGA Tour, by far the best PGA Tour season since Tiger Woods in his heyday. And McIlroy looked at that. And Scheffler isn't as talented a golfer as McIlroy, but the way that he picks apart golf courses, you know, and doesn't take on unnecessary risks. And I think that's the way that McIlroy's playing this year. So you add all of that together. And as I say, I'm not going to say he's going to win it, but if he doesn't, it's hard to see how he could ever win this tournament.
When he failed at the Masters that time in 2011, when he lost the chance to win it, he was only 21, I think, at that stage.
Yeah.
His four majors have all come when he was relatively young. He hasn't won since 2014.
Yeah.
And I wonder how much of that is down to what goes on in his head. Or could it be as well, though, I mean, I'm interested in what you say there, that he's not taking unnecessary risks, because there might be a perception that at times he's a little bit wild off the tee, that there might be times when he should sort of hold back and use a three wood rather than a driver. And also, though, are there issues with that he just simply isn't the top class putter that you need to be to win Masters or win majors?
Well, Well, I'm glad you brought up the putt thing. He's been a really great putter this year. And there's been a lot of statistical analysis. Again, not to bore people, I know the audience, but it turns out that you don't actually have to be a brilliant putter to win the Masters. History shows that you only need to be an adequate putter. And this year, McIlroy is a more than adequate putter. So we can leave that to one side. But so the subject, he hasn't won a major for 11 years now. This will be his 11th year. It is, his last major was at Valhalla. He won the PGA Championship at Valhalla. And if you asked anybody after that, you know, how many is he going to win, they would have him up, 9, 10, 11, up in that kind of category. Not quite a Tiger, but when what has happened, I guess it has to be the psychology of it. There's a bit of that. The competition certainly got a lot stronger. I mean, you're looking at the field this week, and it's a bit like golf was in the pre-Tiger days. There's lots and lots of really, really, through the 90s, lots of brilliant, brilliant golfers with perhaps not one dominant player. So McIlroy is, probably the alpha dog around it, but the guys who are around him are very, very close. Scheffler, obviously. Xander Schauffele won two majors last year. Morikawa's having the best year of his life. Even guys like Shane Lowry is, you think Shane Lowry's 37, 38. And Shane Lowry has developed into a fantastic golfer, a genuinely world-class player who would stand on the first tee with McIlroy on Sunday afternoon if they're all square and fancy his chances of winning. So there's a bit of that. There's a bit of the kind of internal psychology with McIlroy. And you have to say, I mean, the guy flies around on a G6, Matt. That's a $75 million plane. It must be hard to retain some kind of motivation or not to lose at least a little bit of motivation. But as I say, he seems to have kind of collected himself. I can't wait for tomorrow. I see it every year, don't we? Can't wait.
Yeah, what is it about the Masters? For those who are maybe not particularly into their golf, why is there so much fuss about it?
Well, it's a bigger fuss than ever before because this is the first time we've seen all the best players in the world playing together for 9 months. So you add that in on top of everything else. It's the same golf course every year. We're all very, very familiar with it. It's actually a magnificent test of golf, which has a real habit. There are no fluky winners at the Masters, Matt. Only the cream of the cream rise to the top here. It's a beautiful... I mean, it's a rise of spring, isn't it? We're all at home and it's, we're just coming out of the winter and it's on late on a Sunday. I mean, I remember being a kid and watching Sandy Lyle hitting that bunker shot.
But Lawrence, is it not going to be tomorrow full of the MAGA mob?
The MAGA,
this the sort of the Trump audience? Isn't this all the sort of the, or is it that they might be a bit cowed tomorrow because all of their stock market investments have fallen?
Do you know what? But Augusta's actually, I don't know the political demographics of Augusta, but I mean, it's in the south. It's a southern city. I mean, the MAGA mob, as always, as you would describe them, have always been there. They won't be actually. That's the Pinkerton security guards are extremely tight. No phones. I was just chatting to somebody this morning. They're coming down tomorrow. And I said, make sure you don't bring your phone in. No phones allowed on the premises. It's a fully immersive golfing experience. If you look at the photographs, watch this. Look at the photographs from any major sporting event in the world. And everybody's watching, who's there is watching through the prism of their damn phone. You go to the Masters tomorrow, there are no phones on the premises. So that kind of adds to it. It's a beautiful walk. It's, again, the holes, we're so familiar with them all. We think we could play them. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful golf tournament. They do it so well, Matt, and it really, I mean, for all that they're, let's leave the politics to one side, these green jackets really know how to give fans a great time. The concessions, you can go buy a Coca-Cola for a dollar, you can buy a hot dog for, I don't know, I wouldn't eat a hot dog if my life depended on it, but I think they're $2 for a hot dog. This is, in an era when you go to the rugby or you go to the football, and or I go to the baseball, and you're paying $16 for a beer, and here I go to the Masters, and it's $3 or $4.
It's still an elitist crowd who get there. You have to be a member of the elite, Lawrence. There's listeners giving out to me for concentrating on Rory McIlroy at the expense of Shane Lowry.
I was going to say, I mentioned them, didn't I?
You did. But do you think that Laurie has a chance, really. Could we, given that he's had his highest ever ranking in the world, could we have an Irish winner on Sunday who isn't Rory McIlroy?
Yeah, we absolutely genuinely could. Shane Lowry, as I say, he's developed into a genuinely world-class golfer. I guess he spends a lot of time in Mackerel. They play a lot, spend a lot of time together practicing. So that was, you know, you play with somebody a little better than you, that kind of really pulls you up. He's had a brilliant year. Finished second at Pebble. I think he finished seventh at the Arnold Palmer.
Okay.
I think it's four of the last 5 years at Augusta, he's had a top 25 finish. He is a guy who knows a golf course, is playing brilliantly, could absolutely win this brilliant short game, which you really do require. Yeah, Shane Lowry, a good outside bet at the very least.
Lawrence Donegan, founder and editor of McKellar Magazine, as ever, thank you for joining us. Enjoy the golf.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.